Welcome to Growth Marketing Today, where marketers, designers, and product owners level up their growth marketing chops from experts in today's top startups. Here's your host, Ramley John.
Welcome to episode 103 of Growth Marketing Today. I'm your host, Ramley John. According to a recent Harvard Business Review article, sales and marketing misalignment is the number one reason why an organization's annual revenue stagnates or worse, declines. The new reality is that sales and marketing are continuously and increasingly integrated. Marketing needs to know more about sales, and sales need to know more about marketing, and we all need to know more about our customers. In this episode of Growth Marketing Today, Jeff Davis, a keynote speaker, author, and CEO of JD2 Consulting Group, reveals his 7-step roadmap to sales and marketing alignment. In this episode, you'll learn first, the actual cost of sales and marketing misalignment to businesses. Second, symptoms of sales and marketing misalignment, and how do you know if you're actually having problems with that in your business? And third, the one step that's often overlooked when aligning the sales and marketing teams. Before we jump in, I have created a free growth cheat sheet with all the actionable tips from this episode in a 1-page PDF. Now, why take notes about this episode about sales and marketing alignment when you can just steal mine? I've actually already put all of the actionable advice that you can use to help accelerate the growth in your business. You can get it at growthtoday.fm/103 or find the link in the description. Get it now before it disappears, because I only put this up until the next week. I also want to thank those who made this episode possible. Now, these folks help cover the cost of hosting and marketing tools so I can focus on getting amazing experts that you and I can learn from. Before we jump in, I just want to thank those who made this episode possible. Now, these folks help cover the cost of hosting and marketing tools so I can focus on getting amazing experts that you and I can learn from. I just want to thank the sponsor for this episode, 42 Agency. They are a RevOps and demand generation shop. You can check them out at 42.agency/GMT. That's FORTYTWO.agency/GMT for a free consultation. And you can also find that link in the description of the show. And if you're interested about getting an ad-free version of this podcast, you can go to patreon.com/growthtoday to sponsor this podcast for as little as $2 per episode. Well, enough about me. Let's jump into my chat with Jeff. Hey everybody, I'm excited to chat with Jeff. He is an author, international keynote speaker, and consultant. How are things going with you, Jeff? How are things?
I'm doing really well. I'm excited to be on your show. And Toronto. I've met a couple people from Toronto, and I really want to go. I know this is super side note and has nothing to do with our conversation, but either way, I'm excited to be on the show.
I feel the same way about Chicago. I've never actually been. So my friends took a trip out to Chicago. They did the whole Chicago thing, the Bean, the Michael Jordan's mansion, and like, I missed out, man. I totally missed out.
Yeah, only come in the summer, just FYI. Well, if we're able to travel anytime soon, but whatever.
That's totally true. Totally random question. Yes. What do you have for breakfast this morning?
Ooh, I had 3 boiled eggs. I had a side of avocado and black coffee.
Me, yeah. I usually don't even have breakfast. I had coffee. That's really cool. 3 boiled eggs. You're eating healthy. You're eating healthy then.
I try. You know, as you get older, the body does not respond as it did when you were in your 20s. So I've been very thoughtful about, like, you know, but I've always kind of been that way. But we try to do well here.
It's funny you say that. I turned 35 last week and I'm like, oh man, I'm feeling my age, Matt.
I bet there's a lot of people that would like laugh at you when you say that, but I get it.
Yeah, I figured. I have a friend who's like 23 and he's like, I'm old. I'm like, are you serious, Matt?
Oh my God. It's just like, please, who are you kidding? But I look forward to it. I'm not one of those people that's like, oh my God, I'm getting older. I'm like, okay, no, this is good. I can do this.
That's true. That totally makes sense. Anyway, let's jump in. Let's talk about marketing. And I love hearing your story first, like how you became really focused on helping B2B companies optimize revenue growth. And you're also the founder of JD2 Consulting Group. So you know, how did that come about?
Yeah. So I'll kind of go through the overarching arc of my career and what kind of led me to doing the work that I do today, which is, you know, as you alluded to, helping B2B revenue leaders, so that sales, marketing, and CEOs optimize revenue growth through strategically aligning sales and marketing. So I actually started, my education actually is, I'm a mechanical engineer by training, which everybody's surprised by. They're like, how does that make sense? Well, it doesn't. But I have found that one of the reasons that I'm so process oriented is because of that engineering degree. And so that's my thought process. And I never thought it was relevant until somebody, we were having a conversation and they highlighted it. And I was like, oh yeah, you're right. I should probably include that in my story. So people have a context of kind of like why I think the way I think. So, you know, from a professional standpoint, I actually started my career in sales, in healthcare sales, and did really well. Like, you know, was at the top of the roster. And then we had a number of different healthcare regulation changes. And then overnight, it just seemed like the rug was pulled out from under me. All the strategies and tactics that I had used weren't working. So I did stereotypical knee-jerk reaction. I just start doing more emails, calls, start stalking people, and it wasn't working. And I was like, I'm exhausted. I'm doing the exact same thing I was doing before that was working. Why is this not working? And I had a fortuitous interaction with our director of marketing at that time. And they explained the new tool they had created to help us get more effective and efficient. And then that's when the light bulb went off. I was like, wait a second. So marketing is not just a bunch of highly or overly paid, that's what we thought at the time, right? And there's still some people, salespeople that think that, overly paid people that sit in corporate, that, you know, sit in the ivory tower and just tell us what to do. And if it doesn't work, then it's our fault, right? Because that's the relationship I had up until that point. It was then I said, oh, I can actually leverage marketing to help me sell more effectively and efficiently. And I think that really was the start to my journey. So after that, I actually ended up going back to business school to become a marketer, to transform myself into a marketer, as I say, to selfishly advocate for salespeople at corporate. So I was like, I'm going to get in corporate and tell marketers what salespeople need. And after that, I got there and really realized that it wasn't that marketers didn't care. Is that most of them had never sold before, so they really just had no context, right? And so fast forward to today, the reason that I do what I do is that I fundamentally believe that aligning sales and marketing is one of the most powerful and untapped ways to achieve growth in the organization. And so my charge, my mission, my focus is to help these two organizations that historically have been siloed understand how much they offer each other in value.
That's cool. That's a cool story. I love how it all ties together. It's obvious you've told this story many times before.
No, it's the first time I've told the story. That was the short one.
Oh, cool, cool.
It's all in the book. The long version's in the book. I figured let's leave that for the book.
That's true. Let's talk about that sales and marketing alignment. Like what, you know, for people who might not know, I've done a little bit of sales and not good at it. You've actually crossed both bridges, both sales and marketing. What are the advantages of making sure that sales and marketing is aligned?
There's a bunch, right? So I think the biggest thing that folks need to be aware of is that in B2B, the buyer-seller relationship has completely changed. And I bring that up because a large number of organizations have gotten to the point where they're starting to recognize that, but they have not adapted or changed the way in which they sell. So if you're selling like you did, or even marketing like you did 5-10 years ago, you're out of date. Because due to digital disruption, the buyer has much more access to information. They're not coming to you for features and benefits. And if you're talking about features and benefits, you're adding no value. They found all that on the website. They found it on your site, other sites. They need help making a decision. They need a strategic advisor. And so the only way that you can do that and really lead them to this path of discovery, understanding their problem, and then ultimately making a decision to purchase you is that you have to develop a process that takes them through that journey. And the only way to do that is to have alignment between marketing and sales. Neither one can effectively do it in their own silo by themselves. This is why we need each other so much, because the buyer doesn't care if it comes from sales or marketing. They just want you to give them information that they need to get so they can make a decision.
And I want to kind of flip the script and talk about, you know, what are the costs of inaction with that misalignment? Like, you know, their sales and marketing obviously not working together. And people are just like, just leave it as is. But what is the cost of that to the company?
They're actually huge. But the thing that's troublesome is that they can be silent if you're not looking at the right metrics and focus on the right things. And so in the book, I actually talk about it's almost like being in a rowboat in the middle of a pond and having a hole. And so people know that the hole is there and water's coming into the boat. But we are so focused on like, oh, let's just get some cups and get the water out. we don't take the time to actually plug the hole so that we don't drown. And it's not until we take on too much water that people either get off the boat, AKA they go to another company, they quit their job, which is why you see so many, you know, people turning over really quickly, and or we have to make a fundamental shift and bail or make this hard change because we're so deep in the water that it's too late before we can fix it, right? That's really where people need to start kind of focusing their energy and understanding that you have to look at the right things, and that's around sales productivity and effectiveness. Those are the metrics that we should do. So in the book I talk about as well, it's a study by Reach Force and Marketo that estimates that lost sales productivity and wasted marketing spend actually can cost a company upwards of $1 trillion. Yeah, and while that seems like a big number, when you think about what it says, it's think about all your salespeople, right? You pay them salary, bonus, compensation, that sort of thing. InsideSales.com, now Zant, also shows data that but the majority of B2B salespeople are only selling 30% of the time. So that 70% of right is doing other things, administrative tasks, whatever all that stuff is, but it's not a revenue generating activity. You then put on top of that marketing, you know, 80 to 90% of their leads that they've generated that sales don't even look at or don't even take seriously, right? All of those things confounded. You have a lot of people working really hard, you're paying them, but they're not being as productive as possible. That's where the waste is, right? And it's, you don't necessarily see that per se, but if you're able to unlock that and get that and align people, that is a, you know, that's a 10, 20, 30X with minimal effort, I would say. I mean, so there's work to be done, but you're really unlocking all those potential of what we've wasted by not working together in a more seamless way.
I want to talk a little bit about you coming in and helping out an organization with that misalignment. How do you discover the extent of how misaligned the sales and marketing are? What are you looking for? You talked about people leaving and just, you know, they're drowning. So they quit, but there must be other things that you're like, oh, there's definitely, you know, the extent of misalignment here is huge, or, you know, it's pretty minor.
Yeah. From our standpoint, we actually come in and do a full assessment, and we're looking across a number of different levers. And so, you know, we're looking at structure and culture and that sort of thing, because we really have to do an audit of the entire sales marketing system. We like to call it a system, to really evaluate whether or not they're able to execute on strategy, right? The easier response to that, or what people can do tomorrow, so to say, if there are what I call triggers that you can start to look for. And if you have multiple ones and they're impacting your revenue, then you definitely know that's a situation that you want to address. So things like, which is super easy, just sales and marketing don't have a relationship or have what I call a dysfunctional relationship, right? Like they're not necessarily fighting, but they just like, they don't know each other. And if you think about it, the two most important parts of the organization when it comes to generating revenue, if they don't have a relationship, that is an issue. Another one would be high volume leads, low conversions. So you have like 10,000 MQLs, but like two of them converting, that probably means that there's a misalignment issue between sales and marketing. I would also say if your teams don't share business intelligence, so if marketing and sales aren't reporting back to each other what's happening out in the market, that definitely is another one. Another one that I also see many times is not sharing data, where sales and marketing are looking at business performance with two completely different data sets. So those are some of the triggers that, you know, if those things are happening in an organization, those are clear telltale signs that you have an organization where misalignment is negatively impacting your ability to grow.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And you talked a little bit about sharing data. You know, for some folks, it's just, you know, Jeff, why can't I just slap on a CRM and, you know, that's it? You know, what is wrong? Why can't tech cure this misalignment?
Well, first of all, let's start with one of my favorite statements. Technology does not fix misalignment. Let me just put a period there before we move on, because we have tried that and it does not work. Okay. Mm. Right. So the work that I do is helping us understand that fundamentally the misalignment between sales and marketing is historic. We've always operated this way. And in order for us to change it and actually transform an organization, it's a people issue first. We've got to help both parts of these organizations understand the value that the other one brings in them achieving their goals. So let's start there. To your point about the CRM, well, here's the problem with the CRM. First of all, if you can get anybody to use it, let's start there.
That's true.
Most people are not using CRM. Most salespeople are not using CRMs unless they're absolutely forced to.
Yeah.
And they do it begrudgingly, and the data is suspect. But CRM is not It's not a tool that is used to align people. I mean, let's look at the history. The CRM was just like basically a data dump, right?
Yeah.
Now we have other technologies that are changing the way in which we can leverage the CRM. But I would argue if you're relying on the CRM to align sales and marketing, you're putting yourself at a stark disadvantage because it's just not a good idea.
Yeah, that's such a good answer. Such a good answer. You probably hear it all the time. It sounds like you hear it all the time.
Oh, just put it in the CRM. It's like, is anybody actually using the CRM? No. So putting it in there does not change anything.
You know, CRM does help somewhat. Like, how do you get people to use it? Is it more that you find a tool that actually fits the organization, or you should fix the relationship problem first before you?
Yeah, and I just right. Like, I definitely do believe that we need to use a CRM. Right. Like, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that the answer to we're misaligned is not, oh, we'll just start using the CRM. That's not the answer. Mm. The answer should be we'll start using the CRM and.
Right.
We'll help people understand, you know, why they should be using it, et cetera, et cetera. One of the biggest thing I see where marketing teams fail beyond, you know, they do a really poor job, most of them selling the value that they provide to sales, but also reporting back. Like, I've seen so many times where marketing is a hard push of like, we need salespeople to put their data in the CRM because we're not able to pull reports and do analysis, et cetera. Totally fair ask, right?
Yeah.
And then 6 months later, you circle back and you're like, so what did you do with all that data? Oh, we did some internal stuff to marketing. Did you report out to sales? No.
Mm.
So then what's my incentive for the next time you ask me to put more stuff in the CRM? There's no dotted line. Like, I don't know what you did with that. You're just, so a salesperson just looks like you're asking me to do more stuff.
Right.
So it's that feedback loop that we have to make sure if I ask you to do something that takes a salesperson away from selling, right? I got to circle back to tell you why that was important and how we ultimately we're able to help you.
When we come back in just a moment, Jeff reveals the one step that's often overlooked when aligning the sales and marketing teams. Just a quick thanks to our sponsor for this episode, 42 Agency. They are our RevOps and demand generation shop, and they help B2B SaaS businesses streamline operations, implement new tech stack, and design ABM and demand generation strategies. Now, they help you create a predictable revenue pipeline. Their past clients include OnFleet, HubDoc, GuestLogix, FlexDay, and more. You can book a free consultation at 42.agency/GMT. That's FourtyTwo.agency/GMT. And I know that my friend there, Camille, he is the founder of that agency. He knows what he's doing. So shout out to him. Go check it out. The link is in the description of this show. And one more thing, this weekly podcast is my labor of love to all things marketing. If you like what I do here, please consider supporting me on Patreon. Patreon allows the fans of this show to contribute as little as $2 per week, which is less than a cup of coffee a week. And you get amazing perks and goodies like, first, an ad-free experience for this podcast. Second, you get access to every new episode before anyone else in the public. And third, you get unlimited access to all the growth cheats. And another bonus is that I tell you in advance who my next guests are, and you get to ask me, you get to send me and you can tell me what your questions are for them. I'll give you a shout out for each episode. You can learn more about our Patreon at patreon.com/growtoday or find that link in the description. And if you can't give or you don't feel like it, that's okay. I am just happy you're here listening on this episode. Well, enough about this. Let's jump back into my chat with Jeff. I want to talk, you know, we've been talking about like how not to fix that misalignment. I want to talk about the roadmap to helping organizations align their sales and marketing that you talked about in your book. What is that roadmap that you put together?
Yeah, so we actually just updated and we launched our 7 steps to aligning sales and marketing. So in the book, I go through the overarching foundation of sales and marketing alignment, which is called the 3 pillars of alignment transformation. So it's data, process, and communication. But we literally just launched the 7 steps. So I'll go through that. Actually, so this is like fresh off the presses because I think it's helpful. So what we did is we took the foundation elements of data, process, communication, which we say you absolutely have to address in order for you to be able to achieve an alignment transformation. And we looked at the organizations that were doing this well and interactions that I've had with companies and clients, et cetera, and said, let's get a little bit more granular and think through what are the processes that an organization needs to go through step by step to help them be able to think through that. And it's in the book, but we wanted to solidify that to make it easy. So 7 steps. I won't go like deep dive into this, but I will explain them at a high level. So the first one's assess. And so this is, you want to assess if misalignment is having a significant impact on revenue growth. So the conversation we literally just had, looking for those triggers, or do we have, you know, high volume leads, low conversion rates, or sales and marketing just not talking to each other, all those things to be able to like sit down and say like, no, okay, we're at a point where we have an issue. Because there's a lot of organizations that are in denial. And if you are going to be that change agent, you need to be able to say like, this is why I know it's an issue. The second step is you want to quantify. And so you want to quantify actually the impact that misalignment is having on the organization. And so this is making sure that we're looking at the right metrics and we're not looking just at total volume. So this is looking at customer acquisition costs, lead to close ratios, customer lifetime value, those metrics that are indicative of whether or not you have an aligned revenue engine that is really humming along. And then obviously I would compare that to either any industry benchmarks and or your historical sales data. And if the customer acquisition cost is going up, that means that we are doing something wrong, right? And so if you're only looking at volume, you may not catch that. Third step is model. This is where I say you need to bring in the CFO. If you're going to propose somebody operating in a different way, you need to be able to think through what the new growth model is. And that's going to impact things like sales compensation, marketing variable compensation. Because some people just say like, let's just charge ahead and change. And that's great. But the reality of things, if you're going to move the ship, we need a model of what that looks like. And so that's why I encourage sales leaders, marketing leaders up into that point, pull in the CFO and say like, if our revenue goal is this, and we want to change this, let's back into what needs to happen in order to put us in a position to do that. Because stereotypically, what you find is that you may back off of your MQL requirements because the assumption is that you're going to increase your effectiveness. And those are variables that you have to play with. And that looks different and feels different. So you want to model to the CEO and executives that like, look, if we pull our foot off the gas a little bit on this, but we do this, like the whole ship's not going to sink, right? Fourth step is make sure you secure sponsorship from the CEO. And I say sponsorship specifically, not just alignment or agreement. The CEO has to become the face of this business transformation. And I've told clients before that have interacted with me and wanted to work with me that, you know, one of the first questions I asked is the CEO on board with this effort? And if the answer is no, then we need to have a conversation because I will not work with the organization unless the CEO is on board because it's not going to work. It'll last maybe for a quarter or two, and then ultimately it's going to fail because people don't have a sense of urgency of why we're doing this. Fourth is we go back to our fundamentals, sharing data across sales and marketing, making sure that we're aligned. Sixth is developing an end-to-end process. And that's important because, again, we've operated in silos for so long. You can't optimize a process if you don't see the entire process. And so as a salesperson, sales leader, I need to understand what's happening before I get those leads to me so I can get my input on, are we talking to the right people? Are their messages right, et cetera? And then last but not least, collaborate, which is the seventh step. And that is about having established formal feedback between sales and marketing, not just ad hoc meetings. So this is going to having either weekly or monthly growth team meetings where sales and marketing leaders come together and talk about pipeline. And it's a formalized meeting. We have a set agenda and that's done on a regular basis. So those are the 7 steps. Sorry to make that a long answer, but assess, quantify, model, secure sponsorship, share data, develop process, and then last but not least, collaborate.
That is so good. That's gold, man. That's really is. That really
fresh
is
off the presses. Fresh off the presses.
Where can, you know, hopefully this, it's probably out by the time this gets out, but where can people find this? Is it on your website? Like where can...
We literally have not released it yet. So we're gonna release the audiobook first. But by the time this comes out, it will probably be on the website. So meetjeffdavis.com. We'll probably have it up there by that time.
But I'm guessing you'll also have templates for the meeting, which is other resources related to that 7 stuff.
Yeah, we have a couple different things. And if people don't find what they need, they're always more than welcome to reach out to me personally. And I may have some things, you know, that I can share with them.
Curious, out of that 7 step, where do most companies that you've worked with fail? Like, what is the one thing that is like almost a majority of the company that you work, they miss this, they miss that?
I think the one step that's overlooked the most that has probably the most impact is the model, which is step three, right? So because it takes a significant amount of work to sit down with the CFO and re-engineer your go-to-market strategy. But it has a significant impact because it helps you understand from a sales rep perspective, right? If I am used to churning through 1,500 leads, I'm just making this up, right, a week, and as a sales leader, you're proposing now I'm going to get half of that, my knee-jerk reaction is like, absolutely not. You know, I got to get this volume. But if you can help me understand, okay, we're going to back off these leads, but we're going to get more focus on this so that we increase our productivity, you got to be able to explain that to the team. And so that's how you get buy-in. But it takes some work, right? And I think that people push too fast forward to like, we're going to get aligned and da-da-da-da, not thinking through how is changing the way in which you go to market impact all those other variables like marketing compensation and sales compensation, all sort of things, because those can be used to offset the fact that you may be burning through less leads.
Now, you've been in both the sales and marketing world. What would be your advice to marketers and how they can deal with salespeople better? Because I've worked with sales team where like, you got to bring more leads. Your leads is crap. Like, what can I do as a marketer? What can marketers do better to work better with sales?
Yeah, so I have a whole section in the book where I talk about the value that marketers bring to salespeople and vice versa. First and foremost, as a marketer, you need to get into the shoes of a salesperson, and I mean actually get on the phone with them and or out in the field, whatever that looks like for your organization, and do it with them. And I mean on a regular basis. And I also, including marketing leadership, I always advocate for having what I call ride-alongs, especially when you're launching new products or initiatives or programs. And it's for two reasons. A, I want to understand whether or not the strategy that we put forward is working. And I want to hear it from the prospect, right? Because it could be a thing where we're like, we really thought that was going to go one way, but it didn't. So let's re-engineer that and relaunch that for our sales folks. Secondly, is listening to the language that the prospect uses. You lose a lot in translation when you roll things up and report back to marketing. I actually want to hear the words. I want to hear the objections. I want to hear all of that stuff because I feel that's where you get the most value is when you as a marketer can hear it directly from the mouth of the buyer, which, you know, that's stereotypical VOC, voice of the customer stuff.
That totally makes sense. And what would be your advice to the salespeople so that they can work better with marketers?
Well, I think it's the same, right? Like, you know, I love this idea, and I talk about this in the book as well, is creating these cross-functional opportunities, because when salespeople understand how they can leverage marketing to make them more money, they're more apt to have a better relationship with them. But somebody's got to explain that to them. It's not their job to walk over to marketing and be like, hi, how can we partner together more? Like, no, I need you to meet quota, right? And so I think, you know, again, going back to my point earlier, marketing has to do a better job of selling themselves to sales. There's a ton of stuff that marketing can do that helps salespeople, but they've got to be able to articulate that. One, especially right now that a lot of organizations are going through is social selling. Some people like that word, some people don't. I'm okay with it. This doesn't bother me. But things like stepping your game up on LinkedIn. If you are a salesperson that hasn't historically used LinkedIn because you haven't had to, and now we're in the middle of this disruptive period where we're not interacting like we should, if I historically have not done that, it would be great if marketing could come in and give training to sales on just like basic marketing 101. You know, what should your profile look like? How should you communicate? Mm. What are the sources of information that you should be, sharing with your target audience to show that you are thoughtful or your thought leader in your area, that you know all of those things marketing does on a regular basis. It's super easy for them. Just share it with sales.
There's this whole trend that been happening for quite some time now, where this new role called Chief Revenue Officer, which kind of bridges the two sales and marketing. What are your thoughts about that? Is that a good idea, bad idea?
Yeah, I'm very careful to say yes or no, because I think it depends on the organization. I will say one of the considerations that I've been obviously asked this question before, one of the considerations that I think is very important is who the leader is, making sure that they have either a balanced background in both sales and marketing, or have, you know, people that they can tap into, because inevitably what happens if you have a career salesperson, they may not understand or value marketing. and vice versa. If you have a career marketer, it may be the same. They may not have the same sense of urgency around hitting quota and being focused on revenue. So it's just, I love the concept of rolling it up all into one person. But you just got to be thoughtful of making sure that that person either has a perspective because they've had a career in both, and or has a team around them that can help them understand kind of the value that both of them bring. I think I think more often than not, I usually tend to see sales leaders roll up into the chief revenue officer role. Yeah. So it's just, you know, making sure they have visibility for how to leverage marketing beyond just a website or just leads, right? So that they can understand like the strategic value that marketing brings.
I want to start wrapping up, and you know, where can people find out more about you? What is your call to action right now to my listeners? Do you want them to go to your website, follow you on LinkedIn, follow you on Twitter? Where do you want them to go?
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you for the opportunity. Really appreciate it. Easiest way to find out more information about me is on my website, which is meetjeffdavis.com. Also on social media, my handle is @meetjeffdavis across all social media. So it's super easy. LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all at meetjeffdavis.com. Also, if you're interested in the book, you can go to createtogetherness.com. We will be launching the audiobook in the coming weeks. I'll just say coming weeks because I'm not sure when this will launch. But we encourage you to either pick up the paperback version, the ebook, and or the audiobook, or all three of them if you like that experience. But those are the easiest ways to get in contact with me.
Yeah, for sure. And definitely that book will be out. I'm going to be publishing this in August. So thank you so much for your time.
We'll be launching that.
So people get that book. I'm going to go get it myself. It's definitely something that I would need and find useful.
Appreciate it.
Well, thanks so much, Jeff. I appreciate your time.
I had a great time. Thank you so much for inviting me on the show.
Well, that's it for this episode. I want to remind you to download the free growth cheat sheet with all the actionable tips that you can use to accelerate the growth for your company. Why take notes when I put this all together in a one-page PDF? Now go to Growth Marketing. You can go to growthtoday.fm/103 to get it now, or find the link in the description before it disappears. I only keep this cheat sheet up for this episode until I publish the next one, which is next week. So get it now before I take it away. Now, before I end, I just want to thank the sponsor for this podcast, 42 Agency. They are a RevOps and demand generation shop. You can check them out at 42.agency/GMT. That's FourtyTwo.agency/GMT for a free consultation. And you can also find that link in the description of the show. You can also support me. First, you can tell a friend about this podcast or share a quote from Twitter. I put together some quotes on that episode page, growthtoday.fm/103. Second, I'd really appreciate it if you can leave a review on Apple Podcasts so more marketers, founders, and consultants can find out more about this show. And you can also find and subscribe me on every podcast platform out there. And third, you can support me on Patreon for as little as $2 per episode, which is less than a cup of coffee, and you get amazing perks like an ad-free experience and all the grow cheat sheets with unlimited access to that. You can find this now at patreon.com/growtoday or find that link in the description. Well, that's it for this episode. Until the next one, this is your host, Ramley John. And as always, keep on growing. Passion.